Good evening and welcome to our first Vesper service this summer. And I want to tell you that as I look out, I am so happy to see so many bright faces of all different ages here to share in this time of worship tonight. We're going to spend this time honoring God, and we're going to hear how God is at work in the lives of some of the folks within our very own congregation. Afterwards, as you have seen in writing, there will be some ice cream treats out on the portico of the sanctuary. We put them under the roof just in case the weather didn't hold out, but I think we're going to be in good shape. I want to offer a special thanks to everyone who is singing tonight in the choir and all of those who have prepared to share something as part of this service. I believe that all of those things are going to be woven together into something that is a meaningful offering to the Lord. We started already with the lighting of the candle, the Christ candle, representing that the worship that we do is done before the Lord our God, before Christ. We acknowledge that we are in Christ's presence. As we begin this time of worship, I ask that you take just a moment or two. We're going to have a moment of quiet reflection and prayer. And during that time, if you would ask the Lord to guide those who are going to share tonight and all of us who will receive the message. Let's take a moment in prayer.
Hello. When I was a child, more than 60 years ago, I was doing Bible school in my church. It was Miami Springs Baptist Church, Miami, Florida. And it was a very exciting affair most of the time. We started with, get this, kids, you're going to ask for this next year. We got to ride on a fire engine. That was how we did registration. Furthermore, Vacation Bible School was for 2 whole weeks. And in that 2-week period, we did many Bible stories, we did missionary stories, we did character stories, we did crafts, we did all kinds of things. One of the highlights for me that I remember was a doctor in our church congregation brought in 2 gigantic jars. One had a very nice lung that had never Nobody had ever smoked that had that lung. And then he brought in another giant one that had a lung where somebody had smoked. He was trying to tell us that if we did that, we might have this black-looking lung, and that might not be good for us. So Bible school was very exciting and, as you can figure out, pretty memorable for me. But every single day of Bible school, we started out with 3 pledges. We started out with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States. We followed that with the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag. And last, we had a Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible. Those of you who can remember that, we can say it right now. Say it with me. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Every day we said that. So fast forward from that time, lots of scripture memorization. And by the time I got to college, I had actually read the Bible clean through. Well, I get up to Vanderbilt and I decide I'm going to take a class in Old Testament. My teacher, Dr. Crenshaw, he went from there to Duke. He's written lots of books, but he was my Old Testament professor. He, too, grew up as a Southern Baptist. So So he felt honor-bound to tell me on the first day when he found out that I grew up in a Baptist church. He said, "You will probably not do very well in my class. You very well may fail the class." I looked at him like, "What are you talking about?" But he said, You know lots of scripture. You know all the stories. You will probably have a hard time with this." He could not have been more incorrect. It was wonderful and freeing to get the kind of critical thinking method that is currently used in biblical studies today. And that allowed me, a person who, like you, you know, thinks, that allowed me to make a lot more sense of what I had learned all those many years of the Bible, and doing all kinds of things like Bible school. Not only that, Baptists are really big. They do Sunday school, they do Bible school, they do sword drills, for heaven's sake. How many people have done a sword drill here? Okay, that's just how fast can you whip out the Bible and find a scripture? That's interesting. So why are Baptists so focused on the Bible, or historically, let's say? Well, we have always said that the Bible is, excuse me, authoritative. So, authoritative. Well, my definition of authoritative is that means that if we are seeking God, we can look to what we consider God's holy word, and that it contains truth with a capital T. And even if we can't find every little answer to every question that we have, that we can find that is in fact informs our life. We can find a guidebook for how God wants us to do life. Well, so I get to this point after all these years, and I'm still working in Sunday school, and I love Vacation Bible School because of its centeredness on the Bible, and I'm very frustrated to see what's happening now in regard to the Bible. It appears that Christians have aligned themselves in one way or another with two, maybe more, camps. On the one hand, you have a group of people who have moved beyond Bible study right on into Bible worship. They, you know, the Bible has absolutely no mistakes in it. The Bible, we are to take literally every single word in the Bible. That sort of makes scientific fact appears to be contrary to what we've all studied, Noah's Ark and other things that we've studied in the Bible. And it forces people, perhaps, to make a choice between those two things and sets up, I think, some antagonism that doesn't belong there. My mom would have been very happy to call herself a fundamentalist. She was a very proud fundamentalist. She would not find herself in a church that had women deacons, much less ministers that were female. It just, you know, wasn't there in the Bible and couldn't happen for her. That's just the way it was. Life was pretty simple. In the other camp, and I would call myself in this other camp, it seems that it's, first of all, embarrassing to admit that the people that are in the other camp know a whole lot of the Bible. I mean, they know all the stories. I mean, it is amazing how much they know and how much less we seem to know. Sometimes it's a matter of whether they just go to Sunday school very often. But other times I think it's because we have somehow in our minds decided that we are too sophisticated to know those Bible stories. I don't know. Maybe we're afraid that we will be in some way labeled some sort of Bible thumper or whatever like that, or that we certainly don't believe anything scientific, you know, because we believe the Bible. Well, it bothers me that this happens. So what I have decided, the Bible is still very, very important to me, and I will hope to instill the kind of interest in the Bible to all the people that I have in Vacation Bible School and in Sunday school and any other venue that I get, because the Bible is still very much a huge, huge influence in my life, and I find it very much to be the truth.
I will be reading Exodus 40, 34 through 38 from the Old Testament. Then the clouds covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the Israelites set out on each stage of their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out for the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, before the eyes of all at the house of Israel at each stage of their journey. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. So for those of you that I have not had the chance to meet, I am Megan Parrish, and I am the CBF intern that is serving with Marnie this summer here at River Road. And I just wanted to get up here and share with you all about how I got here this summer and the reasons that I wanted to be here and the things that I have experienced since I've been here. I grew up in a very traditional, average church-going household. We went to church on Sundays, and we celebrated Christmas and Easter for all the right reasons. But I knew Jesus, and I experienced Jesus, but I didn't live my life as a follower of Christ in that way. I was too young to really understand what that meant. All of that changed for me when I entered into high school, and I could possibly thank my youth minister at the time. Her name was Alice Cates Clark, if you happen to know her. She's fabulous. And I turned 14 years old, and I knew that there was no other way to live. And I handed my life over to Christ, and God met me there as a high schooler, as someone who was ready to learn and ready to live that life, and someone who was still figuring out all of the really hard teenage things. As I ventured into college, my faith grew a little bit stronger, and after my first year, this very same youth minister encouraged me to apply to Passport Camp and work on staff. Traveling to Danville, Virginia and Greenville, South Carolina, I saw God again and again. I saw God through the people that we were serving. I felt God through the songs we sang during worship. I felt God in the love and relationships that were built between the staff and the people that we served that summer. I've wanted to be a teacher for as long as I can remember, but in between all of the education-based classes that I was taking, I felt this pull to minister in some way, shape, or form. As I was explaining this to the same former youth minister, she said, "I know just the thing," and she reached out to Marnie. So here I am, serving as an intern with Marnie, doing all of the church things, and I don't know if I'm being called into ministry in the same way that a pastor is being called. I don't know if I'm being called into working within a church setting, but I'm loving every second that I'm here. So here I am, this summer, figuring out if this is the way I want life to go. This summer, I have felt, seen, and experienced God in so many ways. I've experienced what it's like to plan a mission trip for 25 teenagers. I've experienced the way that God gives each person their own unique set of gifts and talents. I've experienced the way that ministry doesn't always look like standing up in front of a room full of people and preaching. I've experienced the way that ministry can take on so many forms and look so differently. Ministry is camp during the summer, weekly lunches, mission trips, going to King's Dominion, and learning to listen to what the youth have to say and what they have experienced. The new experiences and opportunities that I've had here reflect what a patient and accepting God we have. I've learned and experienced so much about who He is and what ministry truly looks like through Marnie, this church, and all of the youth. I see God in the way that these youth love and interact with one another. I saw God in the faces of the social workers in Lumberton. I felt God in the auditorium as Passport as I sat within the rows of these youth. I felt God in worship here on Sundays, which is so different from anything I've ever experienced. This summer, God met me where I was. God led me to Marnie and gave me a summer full of ministry, a summer full of serving. God met me as a woman who is interested in ministry. God met me as a possible future educator. God met me as someone who does not have life figured out quite yet. God has brought so many new opportunities into my life so far as a Christian who's trying to hear the call and serve Him better. God has met me along every step of this journey, and I cannot wait to see where it's going.
Thank you. boy, a lot can happen in a year. This time last year, I was on summer break from preschool, trying to figure out my next step in my career. I loved working at the preschool. But with my second daughter, Meg, starting college in the fall, and Matt starting in a couple of years, I was needing to find a full-time position. I was considering applying for the preschool director position, and I was also looking at going back to elementary education. I remember sitting on our front porch at Gwen's Island, looking at a recent post on the church website concerning the children's minister position. I was reading through the qualifications, and I just casually mentioned to Matt, "Hey, I have a master's in education. I could apply for the minister of children's position." I was not being serious at all. I was joking. But Matt turns to me and says, "Yeah, Mom, you could do that. You love kids, and I think you'd be great." So I was like, "No way. I am not a minister." I kept thinking of the possibility, and I began seriously considering it. I had many conversations with family and very close friends. Finally, I decided to take a chance and see what would happen. All the time, I felt God nudging me forward through conversations with others and little signs that I can't really explain to you now, but it would be like a post from Pinterest would come up about ministry, and I'd be like, "Why is that coming to my email? Because I'm not looking on there." God walked with me through the entire process, quietly encouraging. I had many moments of doubt and even thought of withdrawing my application. But each time someone would say something to me or something would happen that would just say, "Keep going." So here I am. I can't believe I've been serving for 6 months. It has been a growing experience, learning how to balance home and career. I haven't worked full time since Beth was born, 21 years ago. And that has been a big adjustment for me. Also, I've been teaching preschool for about 15 years, and I pretty much can do that with my eyes closed. What has made it easier is the people I get to work with, both staff and congregation. Everyone has been so patient and understanding as I learn the position. The staff is like a second family who cares and supports each other. Also, I've been very fortunate to have volunteers that are willing to assist me with special programs, especially VBS. I will be forever grateful to Kate Nur and Betsy Lowry. Their experience and knowledge has made this week run so smoothly. I believe God is working through others to help me in this calling. I don't believe He called me alone to serve as your minister. I believe He calls us all to serve together as a community of faith and to be Christ to one another. Romans 8:28, which is one of those ones I had to memorize as a child, like what Wendy was talking about, has always spoken to me. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In this, I think He equips us with what we need to accomplish His call, whether it be strength, patience, the right words, or people. I'm glad my heart was open to the call, and that I listened to those nudges, voices, signs, and that I took the leap of faith and followed His call. By all means, I do not have all the answers, nor do I feel completely confident in this call at all times. But I feel that God is with me and provides the tools and the people to help me along the way.
I will be reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely a goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of the Lord.
Good evening. Many of you know me as Dan and Janet's daughter, Nathan's wife, or Will's mom. And while I fulfill all of those very important roles, I also serve on the chaplaincy staff at the University of Richmond. And my favorite part about this role is the opportunity to journey alongside students throughout their 4 years of college. It's a gift to hear about their joys and sorrows, to learn about their spiritual journeys, to talk with them about their doubts, and to bear witness to their faith development. And there is one program in particular that has been significant in cultivating those kinds of conversations. 3 times a year, the chaplaincy staff, 2 members from the chaplaincy staff, take a group of about 8 students on pilgrimage to a destination of religious import. Over the past 9 years, I've participated in 4 different pilgrimages to France, the United Kingdom, and Spain. In preparation for our travel experiences, our team met weekly throughout the spring semester to learn about the different spiritual practices we would employ on the pilgrimage and to study the religious history of the regions where we would be traveling. In this way, our pilgrimage was not only about our week-long travel experience, but also about the semester-long journey that we shared together. Anyone who has ever led group travel knows that managing group dynamics and coordinating logistics are constant tasks that can often distract from a deeper sense of spirituality. And while worrying about the safety and well-being of 8 young people in another country can increase your prayer life, it doesn't always lend itself to focused spiritual attention. But I never cease to be amazed at God's good sense of humor and grace in helping me to find peace and joy in unexpected ways. In both May 2015 and 2016, I co-led a 9-day hiking pilgrimage along St. Cuthbert's Way, a trail that follows in the footsteps of a saint who was well known for spreading Christianity in Northern England and Scotland. The 62-mile hike concludes with crossing the sands to a tidal island called Holy Island, where St. Cuthbert and his predecessor and mentor, St. Aidan, served as bishop in the town of Lindisfarne. The first year we traveled, our flights were delayed by weather, such that we had to fly overnight, take a bus to our starting point, and begin the 6-mile hike toward the next town. Because we weren't able to switch bags, I had to hike with a backpack full of all of our team's first aid supplies. While crossing the hills of Scotland, the weight of those supplies took a toll on my knee. And after wrapping it for 4 days, I finally decided to sit out one day and shuttle to the next stop. I cried when our team left for their hike that morning, and they knew how much I hated not to be with them. So, when they hit the halfway point of our 62-mile hike at the top of a mountain, they recorded a video of themselves singing the deeply spiritual song, Jon Bon Jovi's Livin' on a Prayer. And for the rest of the hike, they distributed the first aid supplies across all of their own packs, and one of our team members carried my pack so that I could hike without any additional weight on my knee. There is truly nothing more humbling and more symbolically Christ-like than to carry the weight of others in order to help them make it through the journey. I've seen this kind of care of community on all 3 hiking pilgrimages in which I've participated. Whether it is bandaging blisters, singing to encourage team members when they can't seem to take another step, or crying with them when they've had a profound spiritual insight, these images stay with me as a lasting impression of how we are to love, care, and support one another in life. They are a reminder that we are never alone and that in community we find the hope that Christ offered. Perhaps what makes pilgrimage so special is that these bonds of friendship and community are forged as we hike together, and yet there is so much personal and individual reflection time to pray and to draw close to God. When the rain pours in Scotland, it's hard to walk and talk, and we often found ourselves in a single file line crossing the hills in silence. There were other times when we intentionally engaged in periods of silence so that we could reflect on our day, our lives, and our faith. The last 2 miles of St. Cuthbert's Way involve crossing the sands at low tide to reach Holy Island. And we had to time our hike just right and calculate when the tides had receded enough for us to cross safely to the island. In the distance, we could see a thunderstorm, and we had moments where we felt rushed to stay ahead of the rain and to get to the other shore. But there was also a sense that time was suspended for a moment. We had been walking toward this destination for so long, and we could sense one another's anticipation in being midway across the sands and seeing the beauty of the island before us. We had an amazing sense of connection to the past as we thought about how many pilgrims had crossed the shores before us and wondered how many might follow in our footsteps. Through our readings in class, we studied how pilgrimage can reflect the change and growth that occur in our lives and faith, and that it can be symbolic of our journey to become more Christ-like every day. And crossing those sands highlighted that significance in ways that we could not understand from books. The sense of anticipation we felt reminded us of the element of uncertainty that comes from not knowing what lies ahead in life, and yet eagerly anticipating every new destination that is on the horizon. The ever-present threat of storms and tides hinted at the doubts, obstacles, and challenges that often pop up, rise up, or linger just in the distance to keep us alert. Out of fear, we can rush ahead to avoid missteps or challenges, but if we do, we may miss the beauty of the moment, the joy of the journey, and the friendship of the companions who surround us. If we're willing to stop for a moment, we have time to look back with admiration at those who have gone before us, to give thanks for God's presence throughout our journey, and consider what it means to reach the final shore. On the night our pilgrimage team arrived on Holy Island, we gathered at the top of a hill to view the sunset. We were silent as we watched the sun go down over the water. The beauty was too profound for words, and I was filled with an immense sense of joy, accomplishment, and gratitude. And while I knew that we had arrived at the end of our walking pilgrimage, I was also keenly aware that our journey in life and faith would continue, for there was so much more ahead.
How beautiful it is to hear from brothers and sisters ways that God has called them, has walked with them faithfully, has met them along the way, has given them a passion for different types of work, and has given them the courage to be able to share that story so that we might share that story together, for it is our community story, as is the story that each of us carry. As fellow pilgrims on a journey with Christ, may we hear that and take it into ourselves and consider how Christ meets us and speaks to us as we go. Let's share together in a time of community prayer. We are encouraged, each of us, in our walk with you, O God. You shepherd us faithfully, leading us where we need to be and meeting us along the way. Sometimes we are surprised by a new leading or an idea that opens within us, things that are blessings and things that are challenges. Thank you for working in the lives of our friends, and the ways their witnesses remind us to pay attention, to stay open, to be willing to answer a call or share a story of how you have acted faithfully in our lives. For those who aren't with us this evening who need special support and encouragement, we pray for your mercies. May you bless and direct caregivers and nurturers as they work in the lives of others. May they be blessed and may they have resources that they need. We lift up those in our community who are traveling. We lift up those who may be challenged because of the heat. And each of us considers the needs of our family and our friends, and we take a moment in silence to mention someone to you that comes to mind. Each of us carry concerns for others. Please, Lord, hear our prayers on their behalf. Work in the lives of those in need so that they may tell of your good news and your goodness. Receive our worship as a gift pleasing to your heart. Turn a listening ear our way and hear our prayers, O Lord. Amen. Let's read together our parting blessing. As you are with us in the sanctuary, be with us in the world. As you lead us in the world, may we return bearing witness in the sanctuary. Amen.